Hello out there to all of our podcast listeners. This is Annette.
This is Kelly.
This is Shankara.
And this is Titania, and welcome to the lounge.
Thank you for joining us today here in the Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge, where we aspire to inspire other entrepreneurs.
Good evening and welcome to the Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge, everyone, where we aspire to inspire. And today's guest is nothing short of an inspiration for me and so many others. I'm your host for this evening, Annette Gomez, and I've been waiting for months to introduce our next guest. She's a writer and champion of racial and gender equity, a legacy trailblazer in her own right, and the great-great-granddaughter of Ida B. Wells, a prolific investigative journalist, suffragist, who campaigned tirelessly for anti-lynching legislation, and co-founder of the NAACP, Michelle Duster. Welcome to the lounge, Michelle.
Oh, thanks for having me, Annette.
So awesome. So, Michelle, let me share with our listeners your own accomplishments, because you are a force to be reckoned with in your own right, a speaker, professor, and as I stated earlier, champion of racial and gender equity. You've written, edited, and contributed to well over 16 books now, including Shift, Personal Portraits of Activism, Michelle Obama's Impact on African-American Women and Girls, and edited two books that include the writings of your great-great-grandmother, numerous articles for Essence, Huffington Post, Teen Vogue, and Time. Michelle has appeared on television programs including MSNBC, CNN, CBS, as well as numerous radio shows. She has an incredible advocacy spirit that has led to street name changes, monuments, historical markers, and other public history projects that highlight women and African Americans. She's a native Chicagoan who earned her BA in psychology from Dartmouth College and a Master of Arts in Media Studies in New York City. She also completed a Master of Fine Arts coursework in film and video production at Columbia College Chicago. And we look forward to her upcoming book out next year entitled Ida B. Queen. We'll talk about that a little later in the broadcast. So once again, Michelle, welcome to the lounge.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder what is wrong with me.
Oh, you're amazing. You're amazing. So, Michelle, let me just say, it's not a surprise that you're a force for change. But such an amazing legacy. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about your great-great-grandmother, who was Rosa Parks before there was a Rosa Parks. Let's get that clear. I would have loved to have sat at the dining room table. So can you tell me when you realized who your great-great-grandmother was and the impact that she had on the world?
She was my grandmother's mother. And so she was very well known during her time. She was born during slavery in 1862 in Holly Springs, Mississippi. So she was born into slavery. And luckily for her, the Civil War ended slavery in 1865. So she was only 3 years old when the Civil War ended. So most, you know, the great majority of her life was free. But that was not, you know, true for her parents, obviously. So she was raised by parents who had spent most of their lives enslaved. And of course, that had a great influence on her. But she went on from, you know, having the opportunity to become formally educated, which was something, she was among the first generation to have that opportunity since education was illegal for enslaved people. And she started her career as a teacher after she lost her parents when she was only 16 years old. And she went on to become a teacher, segued into journalism, and ultimately used journalism as a form of activism to expose the realities regarding lynching. And that took her in a different direction where she ended up doing a lot of speaking. She traveled overseas to influence the United States to stop lynching from an international standpoint. And then later in her career, she got involved in the suffrage movement, and she also did what today would be considered social work, where she founded a rooming house and a center that was located on the south side of Chicago to help migrant men to transition into life in Chicago.
Such a noble profession, and just, you know, who would have thought about the impact that she would have years later? And Michelle, you can't believe everything you read, but I read a quote in an article in a Time magazine where you said Ida's refusal to comply fortifies me. I must speak up. Is that what ultimately drives you to do the work that you've been doing?
I honestly feel that I'm a product of my entire environment, you know, which includes my parents' influence and, you know, other relatives that I grew up with. My grandmother I knew very well. So, I mean, I never met my great-grandmother. She died 32 years before I was born. So I grew up hearing stories about her, but I never, you know, actually interacted with her. So I think the combination of just the overall environment that I grew up in, the value of believing that your opinion is important and your voice is important and you need to speak up for yourself was instilled in my family environment.
Absolutely. And as we're seeing in these days, how important it is to use your voice, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, but one of the biggest lessons I heard you learned from her was the need to form your own identity. Was that difficult at any time for you?
Well, I knew my grandmother, who was Ida's daughter. And so can you imagine being Ida's daughter? And so my grandmother grew up, you know, much more than I did, you know, living in the sort of a shadow of her mother. And so my grandmother was very insistent that we, meaning myself, my brothers, and all of my cousins, had a very strong sense of ourselves. We knew that we were related to Ida B. Wells, and she, my grandmother, you know, definitely told us her mother's accomplishments and her influence, but she also really strongly emphasized the importance of us having our own sense of identity and our own sense of accomplishment so that we would have, you know, our self-esteem that's based on our on who we are as individual people and not, you know, necessarily tied to what my great-grandmother did. So I really appreciate that because, you know, I think all of us have a very strong sense of ourselves, also appreciating who, you know, what our family legacy is.
Absolutely. And do you, I call them, well, I didn't name them. I think President Roosevelt said it was fireside chats. As over the years, do you still have those kinds of conversations with what I call the youngins or the people, the individuals in your family? Are you, you know, passing down those kinds of lessons?
I do not personally have children. So, I mean, I'll be dealing with my cousins, my younger cousins. And I mean, like I said, overall, I think the common thread throughout my entire family, multiple generations of my entire family, is that you have to do your best. As long as you're doing your personal best, don't compare yourself to other people. Like, compare yourself to your best. As long as you feel within yourself that you're doing your best, then that's all you can do. And to have a, you know, a strong sense of who you are and what you personally are about and not be influenced by what other people are doing, you know, sort of be clear and focused on what your own skills are, mm-hmm. what your own interests are, be true to yourself and sort of block out the negativity and just stay focused.
That is absolutely so true. And I just read off a laundry list of all the things that you have accomplished, Michelle. Is that the kind of makeup that you had in your mind for what you wanted to go forward and do? Because you've got film, you've got writing. You're really, really well-rounded. I think that's very important to note as well. That you can do anything. And it sounds like you grew up with that kind of spirit.
Well, I mean, I grew up where within my family structure, like I said, I grew up with both parents, and I have, you know, I'm related to Ida on my father's side of the family, but my mother's side of the family is very significant and very large. And so I grew up around a lot of people. And so I always knew that I was always a creative kid. I was one of those people that was always writing and making collages. I was very artsy. Yeah. And luckily my parents, you know, encouraged that. They saw that I was always good at writing, and I was always making things. I was craft oriented and that kind of thing. And so nobody put pressure on me to follow in anybody's footsteps. They just saw that I had a talent and an interest and, you know, encouraged that. You know, I would say that I'm just a product of my entire environment you know, one that was luckily, I mean, I grew up in a very sort of nurturing family that allowed enough space for everybody to be who they are.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Michelle, we're going to talk about your new book coming up, but you have lots of material for your next book. What a year we've had. Social injustice, police brutality, prison reform. How did you see this year through the eyes of Michelle Dustin, knowing what you know about the foundation that was laid for you, a historic election, as you see, that we're still going through? So how did you see it through your eyes, Michelle, knowing all that you know?
I think because I do have maybe a little more perspective of history than some people I do know. I looked at this year through the lens of from a historical standpoint, and I mean specifically post Reconstruction, which was right after the Civil War. There was Reconstruction, which was from 1865 to 1877, where there was a lot of progress. You know, with the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments passed that gave formerly enslaved people more rights, I mean, citizenship and the right to vote. And then in 1877, there was this huge backlash when Reconstruction was dismantled, and all of those rights, a whole lot of rights were rolled back. And there was a really, you know, strong backlash, racial terror. And so that's kind of the lens that I looked at what's happening today.
Absolutely. And we're going to take a break, everybody. We are talking to Michelle Duster. You're listening to the Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge.
Hey, this is Cindy Chandler-Lanay, and I'm so excited to share with you my international podcast, Perfect Timing, that will be broadcasting on Mondays at 2 p.m. through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and so much more. We will have outstanding guests that will talk about their passions, goals, and dreams. Make sure you tune in and have a seat at the table where we will create a voice for us every Monday at 2 p.m. This is Sydney Collins of Perfect Timing.
Classy, chic, cultured, custom group travel. That's the Exceptional Travel Destination Travel Club way. From Miami to Dubai and all the places in between, XCD Travel Club has you covered. Whether you're planning a vacation or staycation, here at XCD Travel Club, we believe your next vacation is only limited to how big you are willing to dream. Customized, all-exclusive, upscale travel for groups is what we do. Celebrating a milestone birthday, anniversary, or just want to get away with family and friends, but you want someone else to plan the trip? From the black car service that picks you up and takes you to the airport to the group dinner at your all-inclusive resort, well, our XTV Concierge Travel Service has you covered. And did we mention we offer installment payment plans on many of our packages? Well, we do. So we've got you covered there, too. You just tell us where and when, and we will take care of the rest. Visit us today on the web at www.exceptionaltravel.com. That's exceptional with an X. On Facebook at Exceptional Travel Destinations Travel Club. Or on Instagram at Exceptional Travel Destinations. Or call us at 844-XTD-TRAVEL. And get ready to live, explore, and celebrate one XTD vacation at a time. Mention code EELVK10 and receive 10% off your first travel package with XTV Travel Club. Welcome Welcome back, everybody. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Michelle Duster, author, speaker, professor, and champion of racial and gender equity, and the great-great-granddaughter of Ida B. Wells, a prolific investigative journalist in her own right. And Michelle, before we went to break, we were talking about the impact of the year 2020 and what it's done for all of us. I have to say, Michelle, you have your great-grandmother's eyes. So I know you get that a lot, get told that a lot, but what's your vision based on what you have seen that we have gone through this year? Can you talk about going forward where we need to kind of go? Or what can the next generation take away from what we have seen this year so much? But you have the floor, my dear.
So I just finished publishing a new book called Impact, Personal Portraits of Activism, which is a collection of writing by 45 different people about how they participated in some form of activism in ways that are not normally reported on. You don't see it on the news and that kind of thing, but it's like letter writing, instituting new curriculum into schools, starting neighborhood programs. There's so many ways that people can be involved and make a difference. And so I think everybody should be inspired and influenced by the idea that if you just make a difference in your own corner of the world, then that's enough. You know, I don't think that people should feel pressure to change the whole world and make a whole, an impact and become, a household name. You can just make an impact on your neighborhood. You know, you can start a block club. You can, do all kinds of different activities that really impact your own community. And I really believe if you make a difference in one person's life, then you've done well.
You picked a perfect segue, Michelle, because I grew up on the North Shore of Chicago, and we've seen so many champions of change this year, a common theme in your writing. So let's talk about change in your own backyard, because I know you fought for monuments to recognize not only your great-grandmother, but other noteworthy women. So I grew up in the Daley dynasty. So walk us through that. So I read that you approached Mayor Daley about change in your own backyard. So can we talk about that for a minute?
Right. Well, there was a major housing community named after my great-grandmother, Ida B. Wells, which was located in Bronzeville from 1941 until it started being torn down in 2002. So for over 60 years, it was a very well-known, housing community. And so my great grandmother's name was still recognized and spoken in the city of Chicago. And so after the housing community started to be torn down, I felt that the city needed to still recognize her because she was not a building, she was a woman. So
correct.
I wrote a letter to Mayor Daley on behalf of my family, at the urging of my family as well. And so to ask him, what are you going to do to replace, to still honor who Ida was, given the fact that the buildings are not there anymore? And luckily, there had already been a committee formed the former residents of the community had also had the same concern. So I was asked to join that committee and to represent the family. And actually my father and I, the two of us, were on the committee. And so the initiative to recognize my great-grandmother luckily was not only from the family, it was literally from the community as well. And I think that it actually has more power, because otherwise it seems like, kind of a vanity type of project. But considering that there were other players that were interested and had the same level of concern, really made it sort of a grassroots kind of initiative.
I'm glad you brought that up, Michelle, because I also read, and it's been a couple years, like less than 10% of the monuments across this nation are not in support of women. Nevertheless, African-American women. So I was going to ask you about your support, but it sounds like you had great support in this.
Yes, there was a lot of support and a lot of interest. It has turned out to be, I don't know, this is the first monument that I've worked on, but it's a very unique project because you're dealing with loss of a community at the same time that you're sort of trying to honor somebody. So there's just a lot of nuance involved in this particular project.
Beautiful. Can you give us some insight to Ida B. Queen that's coming out, I think, January? You keep fingers crossed, January?
Yes, it'll come out. Ida B. the Queen, the extraordinary life and legacy of Ida B. Wells. So that is being published through Atria One Signal Publishers, which is a division of Simon & Schuster. And the book gives insight into Ida's, the highlights of Ida's life, but also really connects what is happening more recently with the work that she did. So it kind of contemporizes her life and sort of draws connections between what she was doing and what has happened after she passed away, and sort of how her legacy lives on in our society.
Absolutely. And that's another great segue, because I thought this past August, Michelle, the 19th Amendment was adopted. You know, the Voting Rights Act was signed in 1965 and extended in 1975. That doesn't seem that long ago. You know, what your thoughts on where we need to go? I understand reading the watching the television, that there's more women in the House of Representatives being elected this year. So your thoughts on where we need to go with that, because I thought that was really important to note.
Right. Well, I think right now we have around 25% of Congress, meaning the House of Representatives, is female. I think when it comes to the Senate, it's way less. I'm not sure the numbers, but my guess is it's less than 10% of the senators are women. And so, I mean, that does not reflect our population, because the population is 51% female. So we have a ways to go in both the House and the Senate, but especially the Senate. And considering the fact that there has never been a black female governor ever.
Correct.
You know, we only have a few governors in the whole country. We do have some black women who are mayors. But, I mean, if you just look at the whole spectrum of the political spectrum, women are underrepresented across the board, and especially when it comes to women of color, considering, you know, our population. I mean, black women make up 6% of the United States. Which doesn't sound like a lot, but black people are around 13% of the population. So if you just, you know, divide in half, then that's about it. But still, the fact that we, you know, in 2020 are still having first after we've been in this country for 400 years, you know, that just to me says that we have a ways to go when it comes to being, you know, fully integrated participants, you know, on equal footing with the rest of what this country is made of.
Absolutely. And thankfully, Michelle, we have women like you that are helping us move forward. I just want to take just 2 minutes to tell you about this. This is such a full circle moment for me, because when I was 12, I asked my aunt, she's my play aunt, it's actually Kelly, our co-host's mom, and I said, Auntie, who's your hero? And she said, my hero is Ida B. Wells. And that's why she became a journalist starting out in Chicago. That's why I became a storyteller. And because of her legacy, I was able to voice the great-grandmother's voice in the Re-Return to Fighting exhibit at the National African American Museum. And I cried like a baby, because it was such a full circle moment, Michelle. So I am so glad that you are fighting for us. And best of luck to you. Thank you for continuing the fight. Please come back and see us on the eve of your book release. And as Maya Angelou always says, you make me proud to spell my name W-O-M-A-N. And I thank you so much, Michelle, for taking your time. I know you're so busy, and I just appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much, Annette.
All right, that will do it for us this week, everyone. Join us next week when we sit down with another prolific writer and continuing series highlighting authors. For all of us at the Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge, have a fabulous week.
Now let's get out there, y'all, and
elevate, 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 elevate.